Wiggins. Oh, Wiggins.
I read Ryan one thing from the feedback form, and his head is barely fit in the door.
Yeah, it was huge.
Do you want to hear the negative things too, or just the positive?
I would appreciate hearing the negatives, but I want you to spin them as positives.
Yeah, okay. That's what. What
it's like Robin Hood men in tights. Maybe if you told me the bad news in a good way.
Yeah, that'd be great. I mean, I love to hear that people are loving 12:45. Because guess what time it is? 12:45 is actually 12:47.
This is one of the sentences that somebody wrote about Ryan.
Oh.
Ryan always has his thoughts and ways that he approaches topics. Which is, the person is writing it in a really nice way. But that's like Ryan, that's like saying Ryan wears clothes every day.
Somebody's saying, do you like the way that he approaches topics? Well, Ryan has thoughts and ways that he approaches topics.
Yeah.
Well, thank you, Mr. Consultant.
No, they said really nice things. If you want to fill out your own feedback form, AnnieFryShow.com, feedback, fill it out. It comes directly to me.
Do that in a break that's not this one, because I have
a
feeling
a break.
That when
this
you hear
content.
This segment, you're going to go, eh.
That's kind of a break from the show.
This is all about money. It's about your personal finances. Here's a story from CBS News that I wanted to lead with. The link between happiness and money is getting a fresh look from economists and scientists, with new research finding that multimillionaires are much happier than the merely well-to-do, and that there is no ceiling on this study from the University of Pennsylvania Wharton School, that the more money you have, the happier they're finding that you are.
How much money did they spend on this research?
The researchers themselves were very, very happy being paid nearly $250,000. No, I have no, just making this up. But it flies in the face of a much-cited 2010 analysis of the same subject, which has been quoted pretty often, that says that happiness peaked at about $75,000 in annual income, which today would be about $110,000 in annual income. My question is,
what's the takeaway here?
What do you think? Is it one or the other? Is it that it peaks kind of in the middle there?
What?
Your happiness. So does your happiness, household happiness, would it peak at about that? Nowadays would be about 110,000. Or do you think that it actually does just keep going up the richer you get?
It keeps going up the richer you get if you have your priorities set in the right place. Mm-hmm. The happiness is the money isn't what makes you happy. There are things in life that you prioritize that make you happy, and money makes everything else easier. Anybody who's like, I've had enough, then give it to me. Then give me the rest. No, if you're making more money, if you get a raise, if you have, I think the first dream of people, especially people who are our age, we're in our middle age. Are we in our middle age?
No. Well, we're going to live a long, long time because of science.
The science.
Well, we're going to live about 250, so we're still very young.
Oh, crap.
Gosh.
Yeah.
If you have a lot of obligations, you're raising families, you're both working, you're trying to save for retirement, but the dream is, the absolute fantasy is no debt.
Mm-hmm.
You are free if you have no debt. And if all of a sudden money got dumped into your lap, or you got a big raise, or you got a new job or a promotion, and you had the ability to move yourself into no debt. I mean, that's a world that most people don't even understand. You can't even begin to process what it would be like to not have to deal with those kind of bills.
That's what I found too, is that it's not really about, does money make me happy because I want to go buy nice cars and stuff. That's never been me. But it does make worrying less.
There's a sense of security that comes with it.
Yeah. Like I used to, even 10 years ago, I was worried about things like, oh my gosh, what if the car breaks down? I'm not worried about that now, but if it happens, I just feel a little bit more okay. You know, we're doing real estate
and
stuff.
You take the gut punch and then you rally.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's devastating. And, you know, people listening right now are in that place. More people are coming into that place where they've tapped out their savings. They're dipping into credit card debt.
Yeah.
And they know that, like, while it might still be recoverable, they're headed in the wrong direction. That's a huge reason why it doesn't matter what either presidential candidate has to say about the economy. People know what it feels like. And you look at what have you done for me lately? It's the economy, stupid. And you see where we've gone in the last 4 years versus what people remember what it was like during Donald Trump's administration. But the happiness factor of it, money, to me, money causes stress for everybody.
Yeah.
Everybody, money is associated with stress. And I think like the ceiling for that is no stress. No stress sounds happy to me. But if you have all the money in the world and the best you can do is not be stressful, that doesn't equate happy. Mm-hmm. If you have no stress and you're surrounded by people you love, or you're able to do something you love or be involved with something you love, that's where the happiness comes in. So it's like you could be the happiest person in the world with the most debt in the world, and the stress is probably going to outweigh the happiness.
Mm-hmm.
You could have all of the money in the world and nothing to be happy about, and you're not just happy because you're Scrooge McDuck.
Yeah, we've done lots of polls on our YouTube live chat poll about, you know, what's the important issue? What issue is going to decide the election? It's almost always the economy. And it's because of those very things, because that worry that maybe you weren't there a few years ago and you are now, where you are having to worry about that car breaking down, or you are having to worry about making your mortgage or paying off the credit cards and stuff that you didn't before.
Buying
man,
eggs.
That worry is ever present, and it can affect the way you view politics and everything else when it's always there.
Especially if you feel betrayed by what's going on. Like you told me that if I did X, Y, and Z, that I could experience the American dream. And now that the thought of home ownership is so far away, or you told me that if I worked really hard, that I wouldn't have to worry about, you know, how am I going to pay the bills at the end of this month? And when it's not there, they people turn on the administration.
This story is kind of in light of that conversation, the headline being that 70% of parents will struggle to pay for back to school shopping. One of the things that it does hit on, though, is that the vast majority of parents, well, it says $586 per kid.
How much?
$586 per child.
To go back to school?
To go back to school.
Is that just in supplies, or does that include like music fees to play the piano or whatever?
No, this says just school supplies.
Well, sorry, kids, you ain't getting that from me.
But that's one of the things it says, is that almost every parent, 86% of parents, say that the amount of things that you have to buy now to go to school is just too much.
I don't think it's any different.
I do. I think there's a lot more computer stuff. There's a lot more, even for the little kids, it's so specific. I've bought colored pencils before, where I bring them home and my wife, who is a teacher, so she's watching these things very closely, she goes, no, you have to get the right kind of color. That's not the right kind of all these things. It drives me nuts.
Just get something that's close.
I do. And then I'm told that I have to take it back.
By whom?
By Mrs. Wiggins.
Well, tell her to take it back.
As long as I can tell her that you said so.
Now I'm on her side.
Okay.
But just in this case, my kids, I've already had them do this. My oldest daughter, she's the most responsible person maybe in the house. And I give her the school supply lists. They come home from school, the last day of school, that bag that came out of their lockers and desk, that doesn't move.
Right.
Until we start school supply shopping for the next year. There's no place to put it. And I tell them, get everything out of there, like now. She goes through the whole list. I'm like, everything you can reuse, you're reusing. I did not do that. Thanks, Mom and Dad. But we got new stuff every year. We also didn't, I don't know if we didn't keep stuff or what the deal was. It was just easier to go. Maybe it just didn't cost so darn much. But it is incredibly expensive. I've got three kids in school. I've got, you know, Molly's three, so she's not quite in there yet. But she goes through everything that comes home from all the kids, and we try to apply it to all of their lists. So if you've got some used color pencils, yeah, you're still using those. You're not getting fresh ones.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever seen a color pencil? You know, this color pencil is a pencil length.
Yeah.
Have you ever seen it be half the length?
No.
It's never happened in the history of time that you've whittled your light blue colored pencil down to half the size because you're still using it.
Gosh, the colored pencil waste in this country is just staggering at times.
Yeah, I'm for a blue New Deal. Light blue New Deal.
Light blue. Okay.
Yeah, it's a color pencil initiative.
I was going to say, doesn't it include all the colors, though?
I don't know. I'm going to leave the green one off just so there's no confusion.
Okay, fair enough.
Let's talk to Tyrus when we come back. I'm going to ask him about the Donald Trump black journalist sit down yesterday. Harris Faulkner was there. Tyrus loves Harris Faulkner.
I can't wait for this.
I am going to be like, what do you think? Give us your full thoughts on this. So Tyrus on the Andy Fry Show.